So tomorrow night is our Christmas Eve service here at the Forts at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. And I am praying that you're going to be bringing with you your friends and your family that need to hear about the good news that God sent a Savior into this world to save us from our sins. Now, I don't normally encourage this, but right now, you could take out your cell phone and text someone and invite them to join you tomorrow evening. I know that we are going to have a special service and you're going to be blessed by joining us. Isn't it true that there are seasons of life where we could use an extra dose of love? Like the guy in the bathroom, and he's looking at himself in the mirror, and he's saying loud enough for his wife to hear, who is in the other room, "Honey, I'm old, I'm overweight, and I'm ugly." And he turned to her and he said, "You know, I could use a little bit of encouragement right now." And she said, "Well, clearly you still have great eyesight." Isn't it true? At Christmas, we could use an extra dose of love, because the most wonderful time of the year can be the most stressful time of the year. Even for Santa, maybe you heard or saw the letter that a six-year-old boy wrote last year for a school assignment to Santa. Let me share it with you. "Dear Santa, I'm only doing this for class. I know your naughty list is empty, and your good list is empty, and your life is empty. You don't know the trouble I've had in my life. Goodbye, love. I'm not telling you my name." We've all had trouble in life. And one reason is because we've all had trouble giving and receiving love. Because the love that we tend to picture is conditional. And the world and culture has conditioned us to practice because of love. In other words, I love you because of something that I have decided is lovely in you. And even religion jumps into this. And one reason legalism thrives is because we are told that God will love us because of something we do to appease Him. So we are taught to love because of, not in spite of. But in this series, Christmas Reframed, we are suggesting that Christmas gives us a new way to look at everything. And what I'm saying today is that the birth of Jesus has reframed the way that we should picture love, because I believe that love looks like Christmas. Now let me unpack that. The Bible contains a lot of stories, but they all come together to tell this one really big story. It is a story of a God who is determined to rescue His children because He loves them with in spite of love. Not because they deserve it, not because they have earned it, not even because they have asked for it, but it is telling this big story of this God determined to save His kids because He loves them with in spite of love. And at the center of this story is a baby. You see, John puts it like this, John 3:16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." Jesus did not come to the world to proclaim our judgment. He came to claim our judgment, because we are loved with in spite of love. And we need Christmas to know this. We don't need Christmas to know that God is powerful. We can look at the majesty of creation and deduce that. We don't need Christmas to know that God is wise. We can look at the order of the universe and conclude that the designer is brilliant. But what is his heart like? That's why we need Christmas. To know that God is love demanded that he came in the flesh and tell us himself. And his omnipotence is so great that he could do it. And his love is so great that he would do it. And with his coming, there comes a new way to picture love. Again, John says this in his first letter, 1 John 4. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. And so over and over and over, the Bible is saying, do you want to know what love is like? Look at Christmas. Love looks like Christmas. And one reason is because love gets close. Long distance love is a contradiction in terms. Love comes near to what it loves, and love is approachable. One of my favorite Christmas movies is the movie Miracle on 34th Street. That movie tells the story of the famous Macy's department store on 34th Street in Manhattan, hiring a new Santa that was so kind, he was so thoughtful, he was so winsome, that the question of is Santa real gets raised in this movie. So last year, Macy's on 34th Street started something new. They still have Santa. You can still go see Santa, but you have to make an appointment. You can't just go and see Santa. He's busy. You have to fit into his schedule. And that is how a lot of people see God. He's distant. He's fixed. He's immobile. He's not moving, and he's very hard to reach. But Christmas says, no, God hits the road. He is compelled by love. Remember, Bethlehem did not mark the beginning of Jesus. What Bethlehem marked was the beginning of God among us in the presence of Jesus. Because at Bethlehem, love gets close. In fact, I'm about to make a statement that is so out there, my finite brain cannot fully comprehend this. I believe this by faith, but I think what I'm about to say is absolutely true, but it's just so huge, my brain is just too small to grasp the mystery. Christmas declares that holy God was willing to become a single fertilized egg surrounded by an amniotic sac in the womb of a virgin. That was how intense his desire was to say, I love you in person. There's a popular series of detective novels written by a woman named Dorothy Sayers about an aristocratic crime solver named Peter Wimsey. It's set in the 1930s in Great Britain, and Peter Wimsey is a brilliant crime solver, but he's lonely, he's broken, and he's a hurting man. And about halfway through this series, a new character shows up named Harriet Vane. Harriet was one of the first women to ever graduate from Oxford. She wrote mystery novels, and they meet, they fall in love, and it is her love for him that begins to heal him and help him become a much better person. You see, Dorothy Sayers was one of the first women to ever graduate from Oxford, and she wrote mystery novels, and she fell in love with her character, so she wrote herself into the story so that her love could reach him. And the big story is about a God that would write himself into the story to reach and to heal the ones that he loves. There is no other faith in the world that pictures a God that would get that close. That's what love does. It comes near. It shows up. And then it gets down. Because Christmas shows us that love goes low. It will get down to earth. I read an article written by a woman named Rebecca Sapke, and she is an admissions counselor at an Ivy League school. So she reads thousands of requests for admission for this prestigious university. All of the requests look the same. The student talks about what great grades they've made, how many honors they've won, what extracurricular activities they've participated in or led, and always attached are these letters of impeccable recommendation by very important people. What Rebecca said that she was always looking for was someone that would champion thoughtfulness or kindness, not someone who would impress her with how impressive they were. And she said, one time I got this one recommendation, and what stood out was the letter of recommendation was from the school custodian. He wrote that she should consider admitting the student because they were genuinely nice. He always turns the lights off. He always helps to pick up the room when no one is looking. He knows the name of every janitor in the school because he really likes us. That student was voted unanimously by the board to be accepted. Because that is very rare. We want to climb up the ladder. We don't want to get down. But love does. Christmas is celebrating and commemorating the biggest demotion in history. Now, I'm going to read to you from a passage of Scripture in just a second, and it's written by the Apostle Paul, and some of you have read it so many times that it may not carry the punch that it ought to carry. There is no religious book in the world that says anything about a God or a deity like what I am about to read to you. Let the power of this sink in with you from Philippians 2. Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. How do you humble God? The answer is, you don't. God can only choose to humble himself. So what Christmas tells us about love is that love is more than giving. Love always includes giving. But real love is more than giving. Real love is giving up. Jesus gave up heaven to live on earth. He gave up a place of pure joy, beauty, and love for a place of hate, sorrow, and filth. Jesus gave up the glory of deity to be limited by the frailty of humanity. For the first time in eternity, God accepted limits on what he could do, bound by time, bound by space. He gave up an existence where he is adored and served by countless angels so that he could come to serve in obscurity and poverty, because love goes low. And maybe that's why you've noticed in the Gospels, Jesus is always stooping. He is stooping over so that he can hold a child. He is bending over to pull Peter up out of the water. He's getting down on the ground so that he could look right into the eyes of a lady accused of adultery who's afraid to look at anybody. He's on his knees washing the feet of even a man that is about to betray him. And then a few hours later, he is bending over to pick up a cross. Because love goes low. It doesn't just give. It gives up. He loved us so much, he was willing to give up his life. He loved us so much, he would make himself low enough that sinful man could lift him up and put him on a cross. Because love gives all. And if God loved us enough to become a man, and if God loved us enough even to become a servant, but that is as far as God's love went, then all of us would still be lost. God had to love us enough to become a substitute. Or as John wrote in his letter, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So allow me for a couple of minutes to remind you of the beauty and the revolutionary message that we call the gospel. Because Christmas rebukes the most commonly held religious belief of all, that God wants you to be better because being good is good enough. And if that's true, why was Jesus born? Why did he have to go to a cross? You need to hear this clearly from this pulpit. You are not a Christian because you admire Jesus or because you want to imitate some of his most popular moral teachings. You are a Christian because you admit you can never be good enough. You are dead in your sins, and you need God in Christ to have come to this earth to be a sacrifice for you. You needed a substitute. You needed a savior. And Jesus came so that love could go that far. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 10, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So when Christ came into the world, he said, you do not want sacrifices and offerings, but you have prepared a body for me. And because of this, we are made holy through the sacrifice Christ made in his body once and for all time. How far did love go? Love went all the way to our hell so that we could go to his heaven. And it has forever changed the way that God pictures us. See, Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 5, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So now when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. Wesley was so right when he wrote the words, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. That's why he was placed in the cradle, so that he could go to a cross, because love gives all. And this is the big story that the Bible is telling. It is a story of redemption. It is a story of grace. It is a story that shows us what real love looks like. Again, Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates, God shows us his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Love took Jesus to a place where he could take our place, because the God of Christmas loves you to death. It was exactly this month, 3 years ago, when our nation endured another senseless and tragic mass shooting. San Bernardino, California, some people were in a training class in the Department of Public Health, and two men with masks walked in and just began to shoot round after round after round of bullets at all of those that were inside. Two of those that were inside were Denise Peraza and Shannon Johnson. They shot at Denise, but she survived. She survived because Shannon Johnson threw her down to the ground and put his body between her and the bullets. What was aimed at her took his life. And she said that his last words were, "I got you." And Christmas tells us that God came, he took our place, he put his body where ours should have been, because God wanted to say in person, "I got you." So what does that have to say to anyone that's looking for love today? Well, I'm here to tell you that love looks for you. All other religions are going to tell you how to look for God. There's only one faith that says God came in the flesh to look for you. He didn't come because of, he came in spite of, because love comes close and it goes low and it gives all. Back when the AIDS epidemic was first getting diagnosed, I remember reading about a young woman who had contracted the disease due to a very promiscuous life, and she was dying. The minister came to see her, and she said, "There's no hope for me. God has no place for me. I have made too many bad choices." And on her dresser, there was this picture of a little girl, and the minister asked who that was. And she said, "Well, that's my daughter. She is the only good thing that I've ever done in my life." And the minister asked her, "Well, would you help your daughter no matter what she needed? Would you forgive your daughter no matter what she had done? Would you love your daughter no matter what?" She said, "Of course I would." And he said, "Did you know that God has a picture of you on his dresser?" Someone right now needs to hear this, because life and maybe some bad teaching has said that you are not good enough for the love of God. Christmas says that God has a picture of you in his wallet. You are on his fridge, and your worth did not create his love. His love created your worth. And my prayer is that you could picture that a love like that really exists. Christ's love is greater than any of us can ever fully know. But I'm going to pray that you will deeply, richly, and totally know that love. Love is looking for you. Please receive that gift. We're going to sing a song of invitation this morning.